Well, I'd like to apologise for the fact that it's a little bit cold in here this morning. I'm not quite sure what's gone wrong, but we'll investigate after the service. Diane says it's 15 degrees. Well, it could be worse. Not a lot, but it could be worse. Would you like to turn to Isaiah chapter 35? And we're going to read verses 1 to 10. And my title for this morning is, What Are You Smiling About? Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, Be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with a divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongues shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way, the wicked fools who will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it, nor will they will be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. And we're continuing to look at the traditional themes for these weeks leading up to Christmas. And this week the theme is joy. Now, Christmas is almost here. It's just 1 week and 2 days to the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. So how does that make you feel? Are you really excited or happy? Or are you maybe a little apprehensive? Is it that you can't wait? Or is it that you can't wait until it's all over? Only 9 more days, and the whole ordeal will be almost over for another year. I actually heard someone say something like that on the radio the other day. But sadly, he can be right. For a lot of people, Christmas isn't a time of happiness, but a time of frustration. It's not a time for joy, but depression. While it's a time for families to get together and catch up, for some, it's a time of loneliness and sadness. It appears that the Christmas holiday has become something of an obligation. Something we must endure. And don't you dare have a good time doing it. Smile and wish someone a Merry Christmas, and they may look at you as if to say, What are you smiling about? But as our theme today suggests, we should be full of joy. But what is joy? Well, the dictionary definition of joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. But to the Christian, joy should be the celebration, the unrestrained happiness of seeing the completion of God's plan. It's an emotional outburst of rejoicing and basking in the love that God has blessed us with by sending his one and only Son, Jesus, in our stead. It's embracing the gift of eternal life given to us, even though we've done nothing to earn this glorious gift from God. Joy is looking forward to the blessings of heaven someday. And we're all part of God's glorious plan. As Christians, we should have joy in our hearts because we understand the truth of the sacrifice of Jesus. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die in our place. God blessed us with forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus on a cross. God gave us a gift that we could never have earned. He promised it, but it's still our responsibility to accept it. Joy to the world is more than just a song. It's a blessing of the hope of eternal life. The devil, or our simple hearts, or even this crazy world, challenges our joy and happiness every day. It should be that as people see us, they say, "What on earth are you smiling about?" Well, thankfully, we have an answer, especially during Advent and Christmas. Today, we see the reason for our joy and happiness. We're smiling because the Lord brings salvation to the afflicted, and he provides a way out of confusion. It's been said that more people become depressed at Christmas than any other time of the year. And I often used to struggle to understand why this should be so. Of course, I realise that Christmas can be hard if you've lost a loved one, or if you're lonely, or if you've fallen on financially hard times. Yet most people don't have a real reason to be unhappy or depressed, and yet they are. And I don't think the real issue is a matter of unhappiness as much as it is one of emptiness. People feel empty. They feel unfulfilled. They feel unsatisfied. And the strange thing is that these feelings come from people who have so much. Our lives are not empty of blessings because blessings abound around us. But we still feel unhappy and dissatisfied. And I believe this happens because we confuse fun with joy. To have fun is not the same thing as being joyful. In fact, we can be joyful even when we aren't having fun. But fun becomes crucial if you're using it as a substitute for real joy. If what you feel deep inside is not joy but emptiness, then you need to feel that emptiness somehow. You've got to find a way to distract yourself because the alternative is to hurt, and to hurt deeply. And you'll go to any lengths to amuse yourself. No price is too much to pay if it takes your mind off that emptiness inside. Just consider the phenomenon known as the holiday shopping season. Beginning in November with Black Friday and Cyber Monday, people flock to the stores or online to buy, buy, and buy again. The day after Christmas, they flock again to the Boxing Day sales to buy what they forgot to buy before Christmas. And a couple of days later, they flock back to the stores to return. And the reason for this is because people are not happy. People still feel empty and unfulfilled. None of those gifts provided lasting joy, so the alternative is to take them back for something else. Now, I'm not saying that shopping or gift giving is bad. It certainly is not. It's a wonderful part of Christmas. It's good for our economy and so forth. But if the hope of receiving that perfect gift becomes the sum total of your Christmas, then it's no wonder people are so unhappy and empty inside if the gifts they received are not what they expected. If people today feel empty inside, they're not the first ones. A world of inner emptiness is exactly what Isaiah is describing in our text this morning, when he talks about a world of feeble hands and weak knees. It's a world that has no confidence anymore, a world that has lost its nerve. It's a place of sorrow and sighing and fearful hearts. In Isaiah's day, the people of Judah were extremely fearful. They looked at the world scene. They saw an invasion on the horizon. The people of Judah were soon to be invaded, captured, and sent into exile in Babylon. They were to lose their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. And in a lot of ways, our fears today are the same. We have fears of crime and of disease and poverty, fear of the future, fear of death. Sometimes we fear, well, we don't know what we fear, but we fear all the same. But Isaiah said, all this is what suddenly changes. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Fear will be replaced with joy. Not fun, but joy. Joy in all the world because the Lord has come. God comes into the world. Suddenly, lonely, sad people in a lonely, sad world see God. They see his glory They see his splendor. They see his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Father's one and only Son, comes in the world to show what God is like, to show us how powerful he is, but also how kind and compassionate he is. Even more amazing is that he doesn't come with pomp and splendor as befits royalty. No, he comes as a baby, born in a stable to a poor, young, ordinary family. Jesus comes to show us that we're not alone, and we never have been. Our enemies are fierce and our fears are real, but God knows all about them and he cares. He cares enough to do something. He cared enough to become one of us, to stoop down to our level, to put his shoulder underneath our burden and all our fears and worries and to take them away. He cared enough to be born into our world, to live with us, to die for us, to be our Saviour. And when the Saviour comes, he makes a change everywhere. If our lonely, sad world is like a spiritual desert, as Isaiah described it, then Jesus comes and suddenly water starts gushing forth everywhere and the desert bursts into bloom. The prophet describes this dramatic change with pictures. He speaks about Lebanon. This place is world renowned for its beautiful cedar trees. So the glory of Lebanon is the tall, beautiful cedar trees suddenly growing where once there was only hot, dry sand. He speaks of the splendor of Carmel and Sharon appearing in the desert. Carmel is a beautiful, fertile mountainside, and Sharon is a plain that was once full of wild flowers, and there in Israel today they grow oranges. It's a poetic way of describing how, where people are sad and sorrowful, when Jesus comes, their sorrow and sighing flee away. When the blind, the lame, the deaf, and the dumb meet Jesus, they're healed. People who are shaking with fear suddenly burst out laughing and singing. Not simply because they've decided they ought to lighten up. No, because they found a new, better way to amuse themselves, or because someone finally got what they wanted for Christmas. No, it's not that. It's because now there is new joy in the world. It's because the Lord is here. The joy we find in Jesus isn't merely pointless fun. Pointless is the last word you would use to describe it. The joy we find in Christ is not like getting a present that we set aside once the newness wears off. Our joy is purposeful. It's meaningful. The Lord, when he comes, provides a way out of confusion. Isaiah said the Lord builds a superhighway for us to travel on, and when we're on it, we can get somewhere. The highway appears in the desert. It's called the Way of Holiness, and it heads straight for Zion, that hill in Jerusalem where God's people gather. That's what we today know as the Christian Church. And it's a safe highway. There aren't any ferocious beasts on it or any other roadside hazards. Unlike most of our highways around here, this one doesn't have a traffic problem. Wicked fools will not go on it, Isaiah says. Literally, he says that fools won't drift back and forth on it, clogging up traffic and putting everyone in danger because they don't know where they're going. The people on this highway know where they're going. This road is only for those who walk in that way. Did you know that before Christianity was called Christianity, and before Christians were called Christians, our faith was simply called the Way? It's a way back to God, the way of holiness, the way we become holy through the forgiveness of all our sins. And this highway is for the ransomed, it's for the redeemed. That means it's for those who've been bought back, and every one of Isaiah's original readers knew exactly what he meant by that. The words ransomed and redeemed have in mind a person who fell on hard times. Through hardship or bad luck, he rang up debts so high he couldn't pay them. And so sometimes he had to sell himself into slavery so that his debts could be paid. When that happened to someone, it was the duty of one of his relatives to step in and buy him back. His rich relative would pay the price for him, get him released, and give him his freedom back. And that is a perfect picture of what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says we were sold as slaves to sin. Though our sins, we'd run up a debt that we could never begin to pay. We were people who, as another verse says, were kept in bondage all our lives by the fear of death. But Jesus became our relative. He took on human flesh and blood, and he became our rich brother. And he bought us back. He paid the price to buy us out of slavery. He gave himself as a hostage to death so that we could be released. And then he rose from the dead and destroyed death forever. And this he did for any and everyone who would accept him as their saviour. For everyone who would sink their pride in that knowledge that they needed help. For everyone who would accept the great sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us. We then become a child of God. Jesus is our brother. We are joint heirs with him. We are a part of God's family. When we do that, or when we did that, we were placed on the superhighway that leads straight to heaven. We're a child of God whom Christ has redeemed, and we can now be happy. You can be happy even when you're not having fun. You can smile even if you don't get that one special present this year. After all, you've already been given the one perfect gift. God gave that gift to you when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And that's a gift that keeps on giving. The gift of Jesus is forgiveness and salvation. And there we find the real reason for lasting joy. So you can be happy, deeply, profoundly happy, because of what the Lord has done for you. You have joy. The joy the Lord's coming brings to the whole world. So smile and enjoy him this Christmas and always. And when people ask, "What are you smiling about?" you can tell them. Amen.